This chanting of Hare Krishna brings out our spiritual nature. All over the world there are so many different religions, Christian religion, Hindu religion, Islam, Judaism, so many different religions. But underneath all those religions, there's the spiritual life that's the same for everyone. Everyone is a spiritual living being. Everyone has God in his heart. Everyone has a relationship with God. And everyone is meant to love God. Huh? So that, to bring that out, is the purpose of all religions. It doesn't matter whether it's Christian religion, this religion, that religion. And this chanting of Hare Krishna is meant for people of every religion. It's not that it's meant for switching us from this religion to that religion. Who's Christian? Who's Muslim? Everybody's Christian. Okay. Who's something else? Okay, all Christian. Most of, yeah, something else again. Okay. So,
who's that?
So it's not that you have to change from being Christian to something else. That you have to become Hindu or you have to become Indian. I'm not Indian. Huh? So that you don't have to do. You don't have to switch your religion, even your culture. It's not that, of course, we have a few cool cultural things we do. We found some nice clothes somewhere. And we have other things that add to your culture. The thing is to find the best in every culture. Every culture's got something good. I've been all over the world, to Europe, to South America, to India, down here in Africa. Every place you go, you find that there's, in every culture, there's something that's really good. There are parts that are really good. And then there are other parts of every culture where even the people in the culture will say, we could do without this. You know, this isn't really helping us. This is like the downside of our culture. Or it's not really the cultured part of our culture. It's not what we want to culture. It's not the uplifting part of our culture or the refined part of our culture. It's the things that you'll find in our culture that even we're not happy about. Just like in America, you'll find so many people who are depressed. So depression, you can say, is part of American culture. But that's not the part that we want. It's not that we say, well, we're Americans and we're determined to be depressed because if we give up depression, we're not going to be Americans anymore. That's not what it's about. America is supposed to stand for, you know, better things than that. And lots of times it doesn't. But it's supposed to. Just like, well, anyway, we won't bang on America too much today. The Americans shouldn't do it too much. But in every country you find something good, in every culture you find something good. Just like I was talking with Ignatius 2 days back, and he was telling me a little bit more than I knew about African culture, and about the importance of family connections in African culture, and the importance of our ancestors, our previous generations in African culture. And as he was explaining it to me, it reminded me of things in our books. There was an incident, there was a king born, and they were consulting the sages, not his father, because his father had been killed in a war, but his grandfather was asking the great sages, the great wise men who were there, about the future of this king, because they were wise men, they were supposed to be able to see the future. So he's asking, will he be a credit to his family? Will he be generous? Will he be heroic? Will he be honest? Will he be just? Will he be noble? Will he be a credit to the family? Because in that line of kings, each king had been like a noble person. Each king had been a just person. Each king had been, you know, first-class king. So the grandfather was saying, is he going to be a credit to the family? Or is he going to be, you know, a reject? Is he going to be a discredit? Because that concern is there, that we don't only represent ourselves, we don't only stand for ourselves, but we stand for the people who came before us. So we have an obligation, as it were, that we should, how to say it, what's a good way to say that? We should be a credit. We should do good by our predecessors. They should be proud. If they were here, they should be proud. Yes, this guy's done the right thing. So that's there in the culture of India. That's there in the culture of even before many places all over the world, because that's something of value. That's something of value. Then the question comes, like, what is it that we can do that will bring the most credit for ourselves, for our family, for our previous generations, for our country, for our community? What is it that we should do? Someone says, well, be a big businessman and make a lot of money and be on the front page of Time Magazine. And someone else says something else. But if you look in the spiritual side, if you look in the scriptures of the world, the real thing is to be a person who has developed his relationship with God and who spreads God consciousness for the benefit of others. That you can do in your community, in your family, in your work, in your school, wherever you are. You can cultivate that spiritual consciousness within yourself, and you can help others bring out that spiritual consciousness within themselves. That is what we call liberating. It frees us from so many things that we don't want to have in our hearts, like a cleaning job on the heart, to purify the heart. Purifies the heart, purifies the mind, brings happiness within oneself. Because I can tell you, we were talking about America this morning at another class I was at, and how 1 out of 5 Americans is clinically depressed. Yeah, they're so depressed that they need help. 1 out of 5. And that's like the richest country in the world, with the most this and the most that and the most everything else. Whatever you want, it's there. Press a button, get on the phone, it's on your desk. Next day. 1 out of 5 clinically depressed. Now, it should be that if material things are going to make us happy, everybody should be happy over there. Or maybe 1 out of 1 million would be unhappy. And 1 out of 5, miserable. And the other 4 are not doing that great either. Yeah, come on in. There's lots of space. There's some chairs here. You fill up the space. Some more chairs over here. You're all welcome. So the secret is that material things don't satisfy the soul. No amount of material, you don't have $100, still the soul is not satisfied. Yeah, 1,000, 10,000, 10 million, still the soul is not satisfied. It's like your car. You know, you're hungry and you're sitting in your car and you put 10 gallons of petrol in your car. Still you're hungry. You put 20 gallons of petrol in your car, still you're hungry. Put 30 gallons, fill the tank, still you're hungry. Because the machine is not you. Right? But this body is like a machine. And we use it, we put it to good purposes, we hope, but the machine is not the same as myself. If I lost an arm, I'd still be me. If I lost a leg, I'd still be me. Because that's the machinery. But the machinery and myself are different. I'm not the body, I'm the soul within the body, right? Within the body there's soul. Within the body, let's say there's consciousness, right? You're conscious that I'm here, I'm conscious that you're here, yeah? But that consciousness is my actual self, not just the machinery. That consciousness is me. That consciousness is eternal. And chanting Hare Krishna brings out that consciousness. It's the same in any country, in any religion, in any culture. Consciousness is there within every living being. And chanting Hare Krishna brings out that the spiritual nature of that consciousness, brings us to the spiritual platform on which we revive our relationship with God. And when we do that, that perfects our culture, that perfects our life. And, okay, I've said maybe as much as I want to open up with, and maybe you might have some questions that you might want to ask. And if you have some questions bubbling up, feel free to ask. Okay. You know, a suggestion.
Sometimes it may be a little difficult to ask a question in English as such.
Oh, okay. Yeah? I don't know if everybody agrees with you, Greg. Okay, I saw a hand over there. Is that a hand or is that just a hand? Is that a question hand or is that just a hand hand? Okay. Someplace there's a hand that's thinking about coming up. And it's a little shy, but there's some thought that somebody has. And some bold person's going to be the first person to ask a little question. I wonder who that might be. Which hand is going to find itself just sort of sticking itself in the air. There it is. Is that finger really part of the hand and part of a question? Oh, no? That there are religions in different parts of the world where there's God, but there's not Jesus. And how do we deal with that? Well, I can tell you how we deal with that from what we call, from the culture of Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga is a system of understanding. And that system of understanding helps us get a good grasp on how to see these things. We see that people are moving toward God, and sometimes they're taking more help and sometimes they're taking less help. And God is sending help. And sometimes we're taking it and sometimes we're it doesn't reach us, or sometimes we actually reject it. So from the Vedic culture, or from the culture of Bhakti Yoga, we understand that Jesus Christ is Son of God. And He's coming to this world to teach us to be God-conscious, to revive our love for God. And some people are hearing, and some people are not hearing. What did Jesus say? Those who have ears, let them hear. You know, some people don't have ears, or they have closed ears. So they don't get the benefit of that instruction. They don't get the benefit of hearing from them. But from the culture of Bhakti Yoga, we hear that here is the Son of God, so we have to take advantage of hearing His teachings and implement those teachings in our life. So this chanting, for example, of Hare Krishna, is a way that helps us implement those teachings of developing our love for God. By singing the name of God, now it can be a name from the Bible or it can be a Krishna name, will bring out our natural tendency to serve God, which is what He's teaching. And I'm giving the microphone back to you.
They argue and say that they are the superior person that was sent by God.
The superior person?
Yes, the superior someone that was sent by God to cure our problems.
I'm sorry.
They argue and say they have the superior person.
They have a superior person?
Yes, they were sent by God. Yes, to help us in our problems.
Saying that there are people who say, well, we have the superior person, so we're not going to listen to Jesus Christ. And then there, but you believe in Jesus Christ, and so what to do about such people? Well, we find it very difficult to, what can you say? You can't really force people. You have to hear from this source, or you have to hear from this side. You have to accept Jesus, or you have to accept Muhammad. Prophet Muhammad's followers will say, you have to accept him. And followers of Jesus Christ will say, you have to accept him. So from the Vedic culture, we don't try to, what would you say, police it or insist that everybody line up the same way. If you're following Jesus Christ, you remain following Jesus Christ and take advantage of these teachings of Bhakti Yoga. If someone else is following Prophet Muhammad, they can follow Prophet Muhammad and take advantage of these teachings of Bhakti Yoga. If somebody's following another path, again, they can take advantage of these teachings and make spiritual progress. It's for everyone. I promise 10 first, and I'll come to you.
People follow different people, like Jesus, Prophet Muhammad. Now, by following a different kind of person, does that make any different from you or anyone? You said you follow Krishna. Now, does that make it different from the person who followed Jesus or Muhammad?
We said that we're following Hare Krishna. Does that make us different from people who said, well, we're following Jesus or we're following Muhammad? No, because Krishna is a name of God. There we go. Krishna is a name of God, and God is universal. Whether you're following Jesus Christ or Prophet Muhammad or Abraham or whoever you're following, God is one. Huh? So, and Krishna is the name of God. Why the same Krishna? You know, God is said to have many, many names. So what does this name Krishna mean? It means the most attractive. Like if someone's beautiful, that person's attractive. Right? Someone's beautiful, that person's attractive. But God must be the most beautiful. Someone's wise, then that wise person will attract us. But God must be the most wise. If someone has wealth, then the person's attractive. Come on, right? So God is the most wealthy. He owns everything. So he must be the most attractive. So Krishna, that name means most attractive, all attractive. So it's kind of a universal name for God. You had a question, yeah? Or should I take a question from you? And then I'll take your response.
What I want to know is that, how do you deal with the conflict of science and religion at this moment? Because there's a lot of argument about the science and the religion. People want to know, where did mankind come from? Who created all the animals? And they go, science is all about proof. And religion is all about just preaching. We don't have proof. How do you actually try and convince the scientists that, okay, this is what I'm telling you, and this is what in the book, then what he's been showing you in terms of practicals in the lab?
Science to religion. So what do we say to the scientist, okay, you have a theory and your method is proof, so we want you to prove your theory. Life comes from chemicals, right? Okay, here's all the chemicals, give me your laundry list. What chemicals you want? You want hydrogen, you want potassium, you want nitrogen, some carbon, some calcium, whatever you want. Okay, we'll bring it in, truckload of it. And how much time do you need? A day, 2 days, a month, a year? And here's all the stuff, and let me know when you've got some life to show me. Prove it. Life comes from chemicals. You believe that science means proof, demonstration, experiment, and proof? Prove it. Otherwise, you're not talking science, you're talking religion. Your religion is that life comes from chemicals, life comes from matter. You have to show it. You can't just bluff. We say life comes from life, and we can prove it every day. You take a live mother and a live father, you get a live child. I promised him, then I'll come back.
Just to get to the point that you're talking about now about the life and stuff, scientists have proven that life came from Homo sapiens, and then like man evolved from ape.
They proved it, huh?
Yeah. They use fossils that prove that man evolved from ape. And the other question I know of is, even if one boy, is one boy.
One boy?
One boy.
One boy.
Yeah. See now, why is it in different things, religions to be praising in different ways if they want to be one God? Shouldn't he be universal?
Why different?
Yeah,
why different?
Okay, we heard two things. One is that science has proved that man has come from apes. Yeah, but science has proved that man has evolved from apes. Science is bluffing you into believing that they've proved it. They haven't shown it. They can't start show, here's step one, step two, step three, step four. They show you, here's the textbook, it came this way, this way, this way, this way. 10 years later, they publish a different textbook. Well, it wasn't quite that way, it was this way. And then 5 years later, well, it wasn't that way either, it's another way. They don't have their stuff together. Yeah.
You're actually disputing that they were dinosaurs. Are you disputing that they were dinosaurs?
Am I disputing that there were dinosaurs? No, that's a separate question. But there were dinosaurs as another.
Sapiens and dinosaurs come from the same time period.
Yeah, they can say that, you know, anybody can say this came from this, this came from that, but they're bluffing. They don't actually have their, if you actually go, you know, you go to a like a high school textbook and it's all lined up for you. There was this, there was this, there was this, there was this. If you go into the scientific literature, it's a mess. You can shake your head no, but if you go into the scientific literature, you'll find out that it's a mess. There's mathematical problems with their theory. There's archaeological problems with their theory. If you want to see a really good book, if you want to see a really good book about this thing, there's a book called Forbidden Archaeology. And the theme of that book is that they've taken the evidence that agrees with their theory and they've put it up on the billboard. And they've taken the evidence that disagrees with their theory and they've screened it out. They say, we don't, this is bogus evidence. Evidence that's absolutely as good as the evidence that supports their theory. The only problem with the evidence is it doesn't line up with their doctrine. So they suppress it. They even persecute their own colleagues who come up with this evidence. Big book, this thing. Check it out. Forbidden Archaeology. Then the second question you had, if there's one religion, if there's one God, why are there so many religions? For that matter, if there's one God, why are there so many cultures? Because there are different people, different parts of the world. So you get different teachers at different times, different places, all leading toward the same direction. Just like education, maybe a little bit different here than it is in Johannesburg. Perhaps here it'll be a little bit different than it is in Nigeria. In Nigeria it'll be a little different than it is in Egypt, because people are different, language is different, climate is different, maybe needs are different. But it's all for developing knowledge, developing culture, developing character. So there's different places, different times, so there's different religious methods. But again, this is a universal method to chant the holy name of God as you find it in scripture, or for anyone that can take this name, Krishna. Yes?
I would like to know that your Krishna, your God, right? That it's not your God.
God.
Oh, God. I believe in Krishna, I believe in God, just God. Okay. Does Krishna understand like our God, Jesus Christ?
Yes.
What is
Krishna? Oh, no, sure. There is?
Thank you.
we're seeing that as the age goes on, as generations go on, culture is actually degrading and people become less and less inclined toward spiritual values, toward the values that elevate human society. So what can we do about that? The Bhakti Yoga process says that the best thing we can do about that in the present age is to promote the singing of God's name. There's so many different names of God all over the world, and people, whatever name they have, they can sing and chant that name. Or this name Krishna works for everyone because God is attractive for everyone. Now this singing of God's name brings us to the spiritual platform. Just like we were all chanting before, and there's an experience there, which is a spiritual experience that everyone can have. Doesn't matter where, what country we were from, who we are, it brings us to the spiritual platform. And on that platform, these values are, you know, are recognized, are appreciated. So there's a person called Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, 500 years ago, he especially spread this chanting, and that's what we're doing now. And we see all over the world that people can take part in it, and they do revive their spiritual culture, their spiritual values. So that's what we're about. Thank you. Yeah, there's a question in the same direction. But how are we doing on our time schedule? Yeah. Tell me what to do, be gracious.
We're meant to cut off the last class. Maybe I was going to 10 plus. So I'm going to have 10 minutes.
Yeah, we're going to have some more free time if you want to.
Yeah, maybe after 25 minutes.
So another 5 minutes or something?
Okay. We'll start here and then we'll go there. Next. Yeah, if you have to go, that's quite okay. And thank you for coming.
I think from what I've heard you say, you said you guys, Krishna, you believe in God. And then by believing in God, you embrace all sorts of ways which people believe to get to God. Because you find that there's so many different cultures and religions. Some people believe, especially our black people believe, the way to get to God is to praise the ancestors. I'm making an example. As much as there are many other sort of ways which people believe they get to God by. So you saying since Krishna is God, and then you don't have a problem with Muhammad, Jesus, and so that means it includes even all these other ways of believing that's still getting to God. And another question is that if you say you believe in Jesus and all these other people, but Jesus said he's the only way to God. So if Jesus himself says that, and yet you believe in Jesus and other people, doesn't that conflict with what Jesus said? I mean, I don't know, this is not
it. I heard two good questions there. The first was, yeah, there are two good questions there. I'll continue. The first was that, well, we say we're taking like whatever people are doing everywhere and saying, well, this is good, they believe they can get to God this way, so isn't it like all, are we saying it's all just okay, whatever people are doing? That was the first question. Yeah. And the second question is that we say, well, we accept Prophet Muhammad, we accept Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ says, I'm the only way. So what about that? Right? Okay. So the first question is that, again, people are doing so many things to reach God. Now, some of those things are very effective for reaching God. Some of those things will really help us develop our love for God. Like prayer helps us to reach God. Or singing God's names, that helps us reach God. Reading scriptures, that helps us reach God. Very strongly. Other things may help us a little bit. You know, to be clean. Well, that's nice, but not just by taking a bath that people are going to, you know, go to heaven. But it helps, you know, much better than being dirty. Right? And there are other things that, you know, help a little bit. And there are things that are really not going to help at all. The people are bewildered. You know, there's people who think, well, if I cut up my neighbor and break him into little pieces and spread the pieces in every direction, then you know, God's going to smile at me. Whoa, that's backwards. Every while now and then, you read that in India somebody, you know, has cut up their neighbor and, you know, they're sacrificing to some god and they're thinking they're going to get something. But it's not that everything, you know, whatever anyone puts on the plate. But remember I said, in every culture there's something good. In every culture, in every country, there's something good. So you look every place and you'll see that in every religion, people are trying to reach God. People are looking for God. And there's something there which is valuable, something there which is working, and something there which may not be helpful at all. So we have to see that essential thing, which is moving us forward. So that's what we're looking to find. Where a person's devotion for God is growing, where a person's knowledge of God is growing, where a person's detachment from things that are ungodly is disappearing, where we find that, we say, yeah, this is good. And where we find that someone says, well, this is my religion, just drinking and, well, you know, backward things. You say, no, that's not going to help me. So it's not uncritical acceptance of, well, whatever you find, whatever you want to do. No. It's like scientific understanding, you know. This helps, this doesn't help. Second thing. That, okay, there are different teachers coming in different times, and they're teaching about God. But doesn't Jesus say that he's the only way? Yes, he does say that. But then two things. First, then we have to follow him. If he's the only way, then we should follow him. Just, for example, he says, thou shalt not kill. And yet, people are supposed to be following Jesus and they're killing like crazy. Killing their fellow man. Killing the animals. And still saying, you know, Jesus is the only way. Well, fine, if he's the only way, follow. Don't kill. Don't kill the human beings. Don't kill the animals. Follow. That, the next thing is, yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah? That if he's the only way, then we should follow what he says to do. So Krishna consciousness again means, or Bhakti Yoga means, to follow those essential teachings. We don't say, if you're a Christian, don't be a Christian. If you're following Jesus, then follow. That's the first thing. Second thing, someone may say, well, suppose I stand in here and say, I want you to know that Jesus is the only way. Well, then someone said, well, what do you need me for then? If Jesus is the only way, what's my job? It means that everyone is meant to help others move toward God consciousness. Jesus is doing that, others are also doing that. But Jesus is the only way means don't go this way, that way, the other way. We have to focus people's attention. So he's coming at a time and saying, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the way. You're not going to, don't go to the right, don't go to the right. Come to me. So those who take his message should take it and follow him. They should do it. Then they don't have to worry about someone who's following Prophet Muhammad or following another way. They've got their way. That's another issue. They should follow that teaching. Not that I'm following Prophet Muhammad, but I'm drinking. Prophet Muhammad is strictly no alcohol. But I'm following, I'm Muslim, but I'm drinking. If you're Muslim, then be Muslim. If you're Christian, then be Christian. Take what you understood to be the way and follow it. Don't be a hypocrite. Jesus is the only way, but I don't follow. Again, this chanting will help people of the neighborhood. The Muslim, the Christian, the Muslim will become a better Muslim. Christian will become a better Christian. you don't want to change people, this religion to that religion. That's not our concern. If you're some doctor, you don't want to change people to Zambia or something else. Remain whatever nationality, whatever religion, but take advantage of these methods of bhakti yoga. Take advantage of this chanting of God's name for developing, for following your path. Is that okay? Okay, I saw another question here. Right, okay. We have time for maybe one or two more? One more? One more, last question. Okay.
Some religions say that our ancestors are bad for us. Maybe are bad for us. Some say they are demons. Is that true?
Some people say that our ancestors were demons. Is that true? I don't think so. I hope not. You want to explain something about this?
No. They say that to follow the path of your ancestors is demonic.
To follow the path of our ancestors is demonic. I guess it depends what kind of ancestors we have. You know, if my ancestors are mean, nasty, and degraded, then following them is not going to be a very good idea. But if my ancestors were noble, if my ancestors were, you know, righteous people, then I want to follow. Huh? Just like your parents. Why, you know, we don't have to go back 10 generations, 20 generations. Who wants to be a credit to their parents? Hmm? Who wants to be a credit to their parents? Yeah. Good. Who doesn't want to be? Who wants to be a discredit? Yeah, no one. So, to be, you know, how do we honor? How do we honor our ancestors? How do we honor our parents? By being a noble person? Especially by being a godly person, by becoming God-conscious. If someone becomes God-conscious, if someone becomes a devotee of God, he becomes the greatest credit to his family. There's no way you can do greater credit to your family, to your parents, than to become a godly person, to become devoted to God. And then, if you're a credit to your parents, then you're a credit to their parents, their parents, their parents, their parents. 100 generations go back. You become a credit to everyone by becoming a pure devotee of God. How's that?
I think the question was more in relation to actually connecting in ceremonial.
Connecting in ceremonial ways. You know, it would be presumptuous of me, it would be wrong of me to talk about that very much, because I'm not very familiar with how that's done. But I wouldn't say, no. There's some, you know, even in India, it's very typical. People have like a picture on their wall right here. They'll have a picture of their father, they'll have a picture of their mother, and they'll take like some flowers, and they'll put the flowers around the picture. Now what is that? Does it mean they think their mother is God or their father is God? No. It means that they honor their mother, honor their father. Even the Bible, honor their mother and their father. So, how do you do that? Well, again, by becoming devoted to God, and by some simple thing, offering flowers, offering respect. Some people do that. So we can offer respect to one generation, two generations, 100 generations. Nothing wrong with that. But the real thing is, again, that the best way to respect our ancestors, our previous generations, is to become purely devoted to God. When you do that, you're automatically respecting generations and generations. You know, there's a good example that how do you pour water on a tree? If you want to water a tree, how do you do it? There are lots of leaves, lots of branches, yeah? You pour a little water on each leaf, a little water on each branch? No. What do you do? Root, right? You pour the water on the root. Where's the water go? All the branches, all the leaves, the whole tree. So God is like the root of everything. If you give your devotion, you give your energy to God, distribute it everywhere, to everyone. To your friends, to your family members, to your ancestors, to your community, to the world, just by offering devotional service to them. And that's the crucial thing. That's the most important thing. By doing that, you do everything. One spot. You know, I can't serve everyone. I can't water every leaf. But by serving God, I'm serving everyone. Is that okay? Good. Is that the last question? Or? That should be the last question. Okay. Is it chancellor? Okay. Thank you all very much, and we'll chant a little bit more. All right.